Hello and welcome to the Undercut Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jesse Billington, and we are back to preview this weekend's Las Vegas Grand Prix. And when I say we, I mean, well, just the two of us, actually. I'm joined by none other than Mr. Timo Albers-Daly. How are you?
Good. We're getting to that point of the year now where everything is wrapping up, and you know it's a very long F1 season when NASCAR has finished before you have. And they wrapped up recently. Very nice kind of triple header finale across all three series for them, but it does make you wonder with all of the race weekends they have across a year, and yet they're still somehow done before F1. Maybe F1 needs to shorten that calendar a bit. But that being said, weirdly, contrast this to this time last year, roughly, I'm actually looking forward to the Las Vegas Grand Prix. What about you?
I'm also looking forward to it. I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, we're talking about the length of seasons. IndyCar is already testing for next season. We've seen Logan Sargeant out in the, I think he's in the Meyershank Racing, isn't he, at the moment? And was topping the timing sheets in the test session. So things are looking all right.
Don't read too much into that.
I won't read too much into it, but he's looking happy. He's back in his lane.
You really do take in all the strays, don't you?
I do.
You've got two more in a minute to take in. So
yeah, I know. Well, I'm certainly going to take on Bottas. I think he's a lovable rogue, and he seems to have just got into doing anything and everything at the moment. But anyway, we'll get onto that as we get into the news. And yeah, we might as well start with Bottas and Zhou. They are gone. They will not be on the racing calendar as drivers for next year, or it's unlikely they will be. Gabriel Bortoleto. There's no spaces, but they might be on as reserve drivers. They might come in to do a race in recovery. We don't know that. Gabriel Bortoleto has been announced as the final driver for the Sauber Audi team for 2025 and beyond, which does also mean that, interestingly, he will be racing against his manager, Fernando Alonso. Bottas is reportedly returning to Mercedes as their test and reserve driver, which I think is a shame, as he's still got a lot left to offer as a racing driver, potentially not in F1. He's an interesting character. He's been doing some great food blogging stuff. He recently did an Ironman inside his villa, which was quite fun. He's still a dedicated guy, but interestingly, we'll get back to where I think possibly Bottas is going at a later news point. Zhou reportedly is going on to be the reserve driver for Ferrari, which is great if you're Ferrari and just want money, because what he's going to bring with him is a lot of Chinese sponsorship. And again, all you have to do is chuck him in for an FP1 session in Shanghai and boom, you're raking in the dollars. It sort of makes sense. Speaking of steak, though, they have a special livery for this race weekend, and it's very Vegas.
We'll tackle those in reverse order then, because, the livery looks awful. I'll say it. People seem to like it. I am not one of them.
You're not on board the entire colour palette
spectrum. No, they've got the entire spectrum of colour available to them, and they did that. So, there we go. Joe, yeah, you got to feel a little bit sorry for him on some respects, because that car definitely was never going to be the car to allow him to fully display his talents, and he's not the same kind of caliber driver as a Button or an Alonso, where you can give them a crap car and they'll still eke something out of it. But he's just not that. Doesn't mean he's not a good driver, because I imagine he still is, but that's how it goes in Formula 1 sometimes, and that's that for him, unfortunately. But like you say, FP1 opportunity in China as Ferrari's reserve might not be the worst thing in the world for him, and you never know what happens down the line. We've seen stranger things. Plus, it opens up a bunch of new opportunities for him elsewhere, potentially in the future. We don't know. More kind of news kind of helping to push this particular bit along for him to be Ferrari's reserve is that Ferrari have released Robert Schwarzman from their reserve driver role as he goes off to IndyCar next year with Prema. So there is a gap in that market. So I think it's only a matter of time before that gets officially announced. As for Bottas, like you say, he's good for marketing, but for me, he should have retired from racing in F1 after he left Mercedes, because he's brought nothing to the table in terms of on-track results for that team or the sport since then. He's a great third driver if you want to go down that route and look at how Ricciardo managed to help push things along for Red Bull quite nicely when he was in that role before he came back on track. Bottas would be great at that. He's got a second home in Australia, and he's popular everywhere these days because of his rejuvenated look and all the rest of it, like these barmy things he does, like just carefully doing an Ironman in your house. But on track, not much there for me, to be perfectly honest. And when you keep getting advertised as the pinnacle of motorsport, you kind of need to justify that with at least 19 of your drivers, if the 20th one is Stroll. As for Bortoletto, isn't it just nice to potentially have an F2 champion graduating to F1 the following year immediately and not being passed over by those that finished below him? I mean, he's leading at the moment, so this may come and bite me in the ass if he doesn't win outright by the end of the season, but at the moment it looks good. And am I right in saying he's the first, or going to be the first Brazilian on the grid since Massa? So it's going to be quite good for everyone, I think, no?
Let me check Brazilians in
Who'd
F1.
been, what, 2017?
Formula One drivers from Brazil. The last one would have been Abu Dhabi 2020. No, it would have been
Oh,
what's it,
Pietro.
Fittipaldi, Pietro. Yeah, he would have been the
Bastard.
last one to have
About
driven
one
in
race in second year.
F1. But the last full-time one would have been Felipe Nasr 2016.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Felipe
Oh,
Massa,
nice.
yeah, was on
Oh.
until 2017. Yeah, no, you're correct. You're
Gotcha.
long-term correct with Massa. Yeah, I'll give you that one.
I'm counting it because that bloody Fittipaldi for that 2020 season.
Just going back and checking. Mick Schumacher would have been the last
He's not
driver to have,
Brazilian.
no, but he would have been the last Formula 2 driver to win the championship and then go straight into F1. Am I correct? Because he did
Yes,
2021,
has.
he was at Haas. Yeah. So he would have been the last driver to graduate straight from Formula 2 to it's been 4 years since we've had that happen,
It
which is
seems a lot longer at the same time, though. I think because Mick went to Haas and it was that Haas, and then he obviously didn't do as well as we wanted to because, in part, it was that Haas. We kind of overlooked that a bit, and we then go back to when Charles and Co. came in, and that was obviously a bit longer ago. So it just feels like, and we'll get back to this again later because it's going to come up again, but this whole thing of what's the point having this pathway up to Formula One if you can win the championship that you need to before F1, the only one there is, and then you can't even get there. Seems silly, but I'm glad that Bortoletto is potentially going to change that, which means I've unfortunately cursed him now, and someone else is going to win the championship. So I apologize in advance, Mr. Bortoletto. Please don't hate me.
I mean, Piastri won it in 21, then spent a year on the sidelines before
It's the
eventually
closest
joining.
we've gotten to it, but it's mad
Yeah,
that we had to wait
22,
that long.
Drugovic won it and has done nothing since then. Like, he hasn't even raced, I don't think, in
Not
anything.
that I'm nothing consistently, no. I mean, he's on like Race of Champions and stuff, but nothing where he's been in a full season, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, 2022 Formula 2 Championship first place, and then one race in Brazilian stock car, test and re reserve and development driver for Aston Martin, test driver for Formula E, reserve. He did a couple of bits in LMP2 for the European Le Mans Series, and then this year, and then yeah, reserving for Aston Martin as well. So yeah, he's really not done a great deal since. And then obviously last year we saw Teo Courtier do it, and he's sort of bounced around all over
He's
the
around
place.
somewhere, but
Yeah,
God
I've
knows
lost
where
track of
these
what
days.
he's up to these days. What is Teo Porcher doing? Because he's
Trying
obviously
to figure out how
dabbled
to get a
with,
seat at McLaren again.
yeah, dabbled with a bit of IndyCar. He's done,
Yeah.
did he do
It's
Super
been
Formula
primarily
as
that
well?
he's turned out. Yeah, I think that was the start of this year we were saying just before we recorded or started recording the podcast that it's been a bloody long year.
Yeah.
So I think that was also this year, but then switched over to Arrow McLaren and IndyCar when that opportunity came knocking, and then it was a bit of a revolving door with drivers there, and he was in and out several times as part of that. So,
Yeah, one round
yeah,
with
another driver that
Itoku.
would have been nice to see come in at some
Yeah.
point, because again, you win an F2 championship. I feel like you should at least get a season, especially when, and there's nothing against Joe, but he finished P3 and gets promoted up, and Sargeant finishes P5, gets promoted up, and you go. Well, we know a big reason or part of the reason why you get promoted up, but it's still frustrating when you go through all of this hassle, you win what you need to win, and then you don't actually get the prize as such, and you're potentially left on the sidelines like Drogovic. So this
Especially
podcast could have
for
gone for enough
yeah,
as it is,
especially for
but
Porcher
Bortoletto,
when
it's
you're
nice that
tied
we
to those
get
junior. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, this is all great chat for a feeder series episode.
him.
So we won't get too tied up on that, considering it's taken us 10 minutes to already get sidetracked. But anyway, that's the news revolving around Stake and their drivers. We'll move on to Alpine, who have announced that they will be using Mercedes engines and gearboxes from 2026 until at least the end of 2030. This follows the dialing back of their own engine production at Viry, something that's been way off the mark for a while when it comes to competence and competitiveness. And it all falls under their hypertech program, assuming hypertech simply means buying someone else's stuff. Regardless, they'll have an all-pink livery for the final three races of 2024, which is nice, I guess. Shakes up the colours on the grid. You've got something
Do
to
you
say
want to
about
know my
this?
opinion on the livery?
Go on then.
It looks awful.
Are you going to like
This
any of the liveries we discussed this evening? Just because.
it's not looking good at the moment, but that's not my fault. That's the fault of the teams for going and making such awful looking cars.
No, yeah, everyone's entitled to their
Pink
opinion.
can
And
work. Look at the Iron Dames in endurance racing.
yeah.
That's a good livery. Put that pink on the Alpine. Maybe it works. It's like the Aston Martin a couple of years ago. Wrong shade of green. Looked silly. Looked terrible. They're getting closer to the right kind of shade now. But this, for Alpine, that ain't it. As for their Mercedes team up, not terribly surprising from what we've seen going on lately with them. And especially considering the other current options on the grid available to them, I would have preferred seeing them join forces with someone like Porsche or another French outfit and make a really big kind of French ham fist of it all. But no, that's not to be. It does kind of put a bit more of a nail in the coffin for Alpine though, because it feels like Renault are taking themselves not that too seriously in F1. Don't really come across, and it makes you wonder how long it'll be before they follow in Sauber's footsteps and just sell the team. You think they're just hoping that F1 stocks keep rising so that they can have that team valuation go a little bit higher and then try and recoup as much money as possible and do things that way.
Maybe they would sell to, I don't know, Andretti, and Andretti would bring with them Cadillac, and then we'd see like some more constructors and manufacturers associated with the sport. I don't know. They're fruitful
I would
thinking.
like that. It's not the way I want them to come in, but I'll take it and we can work with it. So that is the point we're at here,
Yeah.
which appears to be a bit of a theme running for the rest of the news for a bit, actually.
Yeah, the next element in our news roundup is Nils Vitic has been fired. The FIA originally said he stepped down, but then it transpired that he was actually just simply fired. It's largely unclear why at this point in time. No one's released a hugely official statement over this, though suspicions suggest that it was due to some suspect calls at the Brazilian Grand Prix. Early reports were that he left, and he's now been replaced by Roy Marquez, who will be sitting in the seat from Las Vegas onwards. And most recently, he was the Formula 2 and Formula 3 race director. There were some interesting moments of race directorship and stewardship at the Brazilian Grand Prix weekend. I don't think that's up for debate.
I just don't think it's solely over that. It seems a little bit too fishy to me just for that to be the cause. I mean, yes, there was, like you say, some odd stuff going on, but nowhere near enough the amount that you'd justify a firing. For me, it seems to be either the convenient excuse or the latest in a long line of things that we don't know about. It's hard for us to say anything without getting into trouble because we don't know anything, because no one's, as you said, released an official statement for anything. But it's again this unnecessary lack of transparency, especially from the very off going, oh, he's decided to leave. No, I got fired. Oh, no, he trust us, he decided to leave. Oh, okay, he got fired. Why? Do you need to know? We'd like to, you know. Because news and being able to tell a story properly, being able to comment, then we don't get into any grey areas. Do you need to know the? Again, yes. Too bad. As for Marquez, natural step up from F2 and F3. Second news story today that we get to say that for. So hopefully that goes well for him.
Yeah. I mean, the Vittich side of things is interesting because potentially he had sort of ideas about the sport and the way it should be operated across a weekend that maybe didn't align with, say, the stakeholders in Liberty Media. I feel that potentially what we're seeing is some loggerheads being reached between the people that actually make the sport function across the weekend and simply the people that own the sport. And it's part of my growing concerns that maybe what we're seeing is this shift away from it being a sport versus something that's, and I say this sort of slightly tongue in cheek, given we've had the recent sort of Gladiator 2 tie-ins, but something that's a bit more sort of constructed entertainment. And yeah, I'll
Your
wait and
two
see what
bits on that one.
happens.
First of which, for a brief moment, I thought you meant the Gladiator 2 tie-ins that we'd had, and I'd missed all of that completely
Oh,
somehow.
did
Then I
you not?
realised you meant
You
F1 in
didn't
general.
come to
That
the,
made a lot more
yeah,
sense.
you didn't come to
No,
the
no,
original screenings. No,
not to the
sorry, you missed
premiere.
on
No,
that one. Yeah, apologies.
no, I was busy doing. I can't think of a bad excuse. I'll think of something later.
You passed up on a great opportunity to meet Pedro Pascal.
I'll live. I like him, but I'm not going to go mad about it. As for what you're saying about the entertainment side of it, it's not also helped by the fact that Dominic Carlin's come out to say today or very recently that he thinks it's that F1 is now the biggest sports entertainment thing in the world, which the phrasing I do not like or agree with in any way, shape, or form, especially when WWE claim that title for very legitimate and understandable reasons and due large part for the open secret we have about WWE as to how it all operates. And as you say, whilst we've seen some questionable things, especially over the last few years in isolated Grand Prix, we're still nowhere near that kind of level of
Scripted entertainment that
intrigue.
WWE was, yeah. But
And just makes me think that you can have a sport that is entertaining, which is what F1 is. The sports factor, the athleticism, the technology, all of that is what is entertaining. It is not entertainment that happens to be about sport. It's not a scripted TV show where sport is an aspect of it. It's not all as, you know, this
It's
isn't
not
the Rock
entertainment
isn't there every day
masquerading
trying
as
to figure
sport.
out what's going on. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's completely the wrong way to look at this, both as it is now and in the future. You can have things like Drive to Survive, which are definitely that sort of thing, scripted sports entertainment, but they complement it. They are not what it is meant to be. Because otherwise, I think you'd lose a lot of fans if you turned it into a sports entertainment rather than a sport that is entertaining.
There is a balancing point to be found with the sports, the entertainment value of it, and naturally, sports is entertaining. That's why people watch sports. But yeah, I'm skeptical about it, and I'm curious as to how far down the pathway we go before we see someone bring out the metal folding chair. And there's like genuinely, as Oscar once joked, sort of instead of it being decided by the stewards afterwards, simply the drivers have a fight, and there is simply a WWE arena somewhere in Parc Fermé for Dessous. Sort of solving driver disputes. But anyway, that's all still to
Does
come.
tie nicely into
The
the
next news
next
story,
story,
actually,
though,
which
because it's
is
again this more stuff going behind the scenes that you're like, what is going on here, and what direction are we taking the sport in as a whole?
yeah, insert the clip from the news going, what is going on in the House of Carl, was it Commons or Parliament? It was a funny BBC news clip from years ago.
What on earth is going on in the House of Commons?
Yeah, Greg Maffei,
Niche
the
reference, bro. Nice.
it is a very niche reference. My brain is turning to mulch slowly because this is the second long podcast I've done today. Greg Maffei, the president and CEO of Liberty Media, is leaving his role at the end of the year. He's set to be replaced in the interim by John Malone, but previously, when large media corporations have simply had an interim step in for the CEO role, Disney, looking at you, generally speaking, they end up in the role long term afterwards. Whether we see changes to F1 as a result of this are unclear. We'll have to see what the new leadership brings, and if that new leadership simply brings to it sort of a slightly Coliseum vibe and gladiatorial sparring between drivers, we'll wait and see.
That's a NASCAR race waiting to happen. That's all I'm saying. But this, again, very interesting story, and it depends how much you read into certain things as well, which we could talk about off podcast as well. But it's just an interesting time in the world, interesting time for that to happen as well. And John Malone, like you say, former telecom giant worth a full $10.8 billion, so he's got time on his hands to kind of take over the reins for a bit and not be too worried about not being able to pay the bills if he wasn't getting paid in this role, which, let's face it, he probably is. He said that the future of Liberty Media is Formula One. So if he stays long term or whoever replaces him is there for a long time, that's going to have to reflect that. And say what you want, as I just have been very much so about this current state of F1. Liberty have done an overall decent job, I think, of growing the sport, even if I don't agree with everything about it. It's definitely brought it more on the map in a lot of different ways, and it's going to be interesting to see how that develops and how much that impacts the leadership of Formula One. We've had rumblings about Dominic Carlin's future, which we're not going to talk about too much, but there's nothing confirmed there yet. But it's interesting what might happen in regards to that. Who would you then bring in potentially in the future at some point? Do they reflect this the way of thinking that Liberty has, or do they reflect the more WWE style side of things? Either way, if we do get someone to replace Malone, and he is genuinely there short term, I'd expect it to happen before the 2025 season. If it hasn't, I could see it being for 2026 season as it goes for that whole new kind of era then. And if we do get any more changes behind the scenes, doing it before the start of the 2026 season would make the most sense from a marketing, a PR side of things, and it's a nice clean break and move away and all the rest of it.
I think it'll be interesting to see. Speaking of obviously Liberty Media, they own a vast array of different sort of entertainment and sports things. They have the Formula One group as part of their holdings, which includes the 100% ownership stake of Formula One. What it also includes in that group is a 30% ownership stake of Meyer Shank Racing, which I don't know. Again, this is possibly me being a bit skeptical and reading into things, but maybe Andretti were trying to fight with someone that already had ideas about bringing an IndyCar team into F1. Just
We can talk about it off podcast, but I don't get
again,
into trouble.
yeah, this feels like something that sort of should be discussed in quiet meeting rooms away from
This is
private
what happens when we
microphones.
don't have our law degree person with us for a podcast.
Yeah, she's not here to chastise me for reading into things. Anyway, speaking of being chastised, the GPDA has set up an Instagram account, and its first post was asking the FIA to treat them like adults. It talks about swearing, wearing jewelry and underpants, calling out the FIA's president to consider his tone when addressing the matters, and to treat the drivers like adults, considering the risk they take on half the weekends of a given year. It questions how the FIA is spending driver fines. It's called previously for clarity on how the money is spent and reinforced the question over the negative image the fines bring on the sport. So it raises a couple of interesting points. The fines one is pretty clear cut. It's like, okay, we don't like paying these fines. They seem a bit churlish, but also if they go into a good cause, fair enough. But at the same time, like, it doesn't look great for the sport if you keep fining your sports people. At the same time, stop telling us to stop swearing because we're adults, we can say what we want to, and in the heat of the moment, like if you put a microphone on Mike Tyson or Jake Paul at the boxing match last weekend, I'm fairly certain they would not have been muttering cleanly to themselves under their breath. So they're adults, they're
It's
sac
also 2024.
yeah, none of this is new language. This language has been around since, in some cases, the
It's
Middle
like these
Ages.
are not the biggest issue you've got in the world. And the fines, yeah, it's one of the things like all well and good them being for a good cause, the money that is. But again, it's not a great image. And I always just like the idea of the drivers having accountants and the accountants pay no attention to Formula One whatsoever. So they just see these 30 grand fines coming out and you're, oh, this again, what
He's
did you
done
do this
something
time? Oh,
again. Yeah.
I said the F word, and I was like,
Oh,
oh,
shouldn't have done
I
that.
touched a rear wing. Oh,
Oh,
it's
getting
a weird world
expensive.
you live in.
Yeah. Like the swearing one is ridiculous, really. And I think Charles Leclerc was pulled up on it post Brazil, I want to say. And yeah, if you follow any sort of internet creators, I think there's a lass on TikTok who's made a brilliant Red Bull replica jacket. But in place of all like the sponsorship logos, she's just basically
I
turned them
saw
all into
this,
swear
yes.
words. Yeah, it is great. Even some of them are sort of written out in Dutch, and it is the level of dedication to it is fantastic. I go find it. I think it's on TikTok, but it would have done the rounds on the rest of the platforms as well. But yeah, it's a funny response to what is ultimately at the same time quite a silly problem. Moving on to another relatively silly concept, and this is F1 has confirmed that next year the O2 in London will host all the teams unveiling their liveries in one epic show. Tickets went on sale on the 15th, and they're impossible to get hold of. Lord knows I tried. Apparently, only 250 were actually for sale. The rest were all pre-allocated to influencers, celebrities, social media people, and the like. Whether that's actually true or not is neither here nor there. Max Verstappen has already said that he hopes he is sick that day. And, yeah, cars won't even be there. It'll just be the drivers and a screen showing what their car's going to look like or what the livery is going to look like.
I was hoping it would be when you go to a carpet store and you ask for a sample of what the rug would be or the carpet would be in your living
They
room, and
give
they
you
just
like
come out with a little square.
a little swatch of carbon fiber with like Red Bull blue on it. You sort of go, ah, oh, so the same as last year's.
Oh, for Red Bull, most definitely. And like you say, if what you're saying there is true about the number of tickets that are actually available to buy and the others have been allocated, then it reinforces the point I was going to make even more of the fact that it just comes across as another money grab when you'll see all the liveries after that for the rest of the year anyway, and not necessarily the rest of time. So unless it's one heck of a reveal party, I'm really not sure what all the fuss is about and who they think they're fooling. And it was so funny that they got so annoyed about the fact that people were buying tickets and then reselling them immediately, as if that wasn't obviously going to happen, as it does with pretty much
With
everything.
anything. Yes. Yeah, it
I'm just glad
was.
at least with this there's an excuse of an F1 anniversary, but you think they were someone pointed it out in a meeting and went, oh, give him a raise because he's just given us a good excuse to throw a party that has absolutely no relevance whatsoever.
Well done, that man. He's just earned us another like 350 million this year. Thank you. If you want to go
Plus
see
my
the F,
bonus 10 grand.
perfect. Yeah, if you want to go see this, all the F1 cars, teams, and drivers and stuff, just go to Festival of Speed. They're celebrating it all there at Goodwood, and you'll see the
Oh,
actual
God forbid,
cars
a Grand
in
Prix.
action. Oh, yeah, even yeah, go to
There's
a Grand
enough of
Prix.
them.
There's at least 25 or so to pick from, and yeah, pick one of the smaller European ones and have a great time. Anyway, speaking of. Actually, there's no real link to this one. The F1 Academy Prize is no longer a Freca seat. Instead, you win a GB3 seat run by Rodin. You'll get 20 days of testing and a financial contribution from the Pirelli Prize, which is all right, I suppose. It's about F3 spec, and Freca these days is about there as well. It's a step up from the F4 spec F1 Academy cars, but it's a bit weird pigeonholing them into a purely British championship.
I
Yeah.
just can't understand why, when there's 30 drivers in Formula 3 and this championship is meant to help you on your path to Formula 1, I mean, F1 is in the name of the series for crying out loud, that you can't get one of those 30 seats for your champion from the previous year. It's a little bit like we were talking about earlier with Formula 2, when the champion isn't able to graduate immediately into a seat. It's madness. And like a financial contribution. How much? I would love to know, because when you win Indy NXT, you get $1 million towards an IndyCar seat for the following season. It's not going to cover everything, but it's a hell of a decent starting point to go off with. So I would just
I
be,
think you
again,
also
a bit more
earn.
clarity.
You can earn a lot of money doing Indy NXT as well. It's not like a sort of Formula 2 or Formula 3 where you have to pay for your seat.
Although that helps.
Gonna try and remember the name. Abby Eaton gave a really interesting interview earlier this week
Yes,
on
BBC.
well, there's the BBC story, which I need to go and read, but also like a just a sort of face-to-face interview for a podcast where they were asking, so where's the next sort of where was the next sort of female name supposed to come from? And she said it was supposed to be Jamie Chadwick, but she's gone off to do Indy Next, which is their feeder series. She said she's making absolute buck from it, but it's not getting
And she'll
into
go and
F1.
make history in IndyCar
IndyCar,
itself,
yeah,
which is
and
great,
do well
but that was
there.
never meant to be the original plan.
No, the plan was she would join Formula 2, Formula 1, and go up that way, but she never did. And she said it's because the teams just don't want to invest in it, and the money just isn't there to support it. You're left with a very small pool of financially able people, and in that small pool, it's just unfortunate the fact that there hasn't been the support to get women to that point. Net result, Jamie Chadwick goes and does Indy next. And yeah, I need to go and read Abby's full sort of column over on BBC Sport. I reckon it's going to be really interesting because she's had a fairly sort of torrid time trying to find race seats. She's done pretty well this season. She's had a cup race win over in Porsche Cup Series. She's been doing a bit of classic
Again, she
racing at
deserves a full-time
Alexandra.
seat somewhere, but again, it's the same problem that we were just talking about, where you'll get occasional bits here and there, but no one, for some reason, is willing to take the risk on you for a full season. And the only way you get that is if you do a bit of an Iron Dames or a Slate Racing or something like this, and you just make the team yourself and you go off and fully fund it, or you get other people who are equally annoyed and they're the ones then that back you. But if you're looking for existing sponsors or companies or whatever to try and come in for you that are already established in that world, good luck to you. You're going to need it. And it's ridiculous.
Yeah, essentially, sort of compress
As
this
it's
in.
Las Vegas this weekend, take a gamble. It might actually bloody work and be a lot more safer bet than a lot of your other bets.
Yeah, I mean, as a headline, newsflash, single-seater racing is still terrible when it comes to getting women into race seats. Anyway, speaking of rookies, though, the rookie race that was set to be held at the end of this year
Yes,
has
this
been
is great news.
cancelled. 2025 isn't looking great for it either. Timing and organizational constraints have been put forward as the reason why it wasn't going to work. So 2026 has been earmarked as the option for it. And fine,
You
I wanted
could
to
just
see it.
do it, crying out loud.
Make it
What's the
happen.
reasoning? Give us some proper reasoning.
Is it
Nope,
maybe
not giving
because the
us that either.
calendar is,
No.
is it maybe because the calendar is too long? So by the time we get to the second week in
No, because you
December,
can do a post-season test in Abu Dhabi. You can do it. You can do a race with some rookies. You can add it. You've got F2 and F1 Academy already racing there that weekend. Have another sport race. Takes 5 minutes. There you go. Done. Next.
do it in that actual race weekend. Don't extend the time that teams and
Yeah,
personnel have got to be out in Abu
or even
Dhabi.
if, or, yeah, but even if you are, there's going to be people there for the post-season test. have a couple more bodies on it. You're going to do it anyway.
There's got to be a way of doing it. It's just, I
Yeah,
can't
we've
believe
just
that such a
outlined
good, I can't
it.
believe such a good idea butted its head up against something that should really be solvable by Formula One. Anyway, speaking of timing and constraints, Monaco has been confirmed on the calendar until 2031 in a new deal.
All good news.
2025 will be the last race weekend the race is held in May, however, moving to the first weekend in June from 2026. This is prime time for any triple crown attempts. It means that it does technically free up drivers who will have raced in and potentially won the Monaco Grand Prix to then go off and do, or have the weekend previously done, the Indy 500, and then later on in the summer do Le Mans.
I don't need to see when that NASCAR race is because they always try and do the double over there. Imagine if you weren't
Oh,
one
some
driver,
drivers do it. If you could do like the
you manage to
quadruple.
do the timing perfectly so that you can get from the end of one race to the start of another.
Because there
And
was
at
a
this point, not
driver
even
that
just
did it
taking
this year.
Kyle Larson, yeah, he nearly. He's attempting it again next year, Kyle Larson, but
He
he
made the
wanted to. And I think
organization
at
one.
this point, yeah, it was just unfortunate because then weather,
Yeah.
all things bugged him, and you're like,
Yeah.
you can't do much about that. And yeah, like you say, you could have NASCAR, Indy 500, Monaco Grand Prix, and then 24 Hours of Le Mans, all in potentially less than a month from start to finish. And I'd even just be impressed that you're in all four of them. Never mind if you and finish all of them, mind you. Never mind like getting points or getting podium or winning it. Although, man, I mean, imagine winning all four in like a month and just going, eh, I'm going to retire now. And you know what? Daniel Ricciardo is the man to do it. There we go. 2026. There's my prediction.
Well, I mean, he's already got the Monaco win. He's only got to go off and do Le Mans
True.
and Indy 500.
I still quite like him doing the Monaco Grand Prix in that year. Some mad feat happens
Coming
that he gets
back.
catapulted into the best car in that year for that one race. Someone gets an appendix out again,
Gabriel
and
Bortoletto has to sit out that round for an
he's
appendectomy,
winning it in an Audi,
and
is he?
the Audi is really good. I don't know. It could happen.
I'll take it. Take it. But
Yeah.
that would be quite something. But just for Monaco itself, I say excellent news. Classic legacy track should remain on the up and calendar forever. So happy days.
Bottas won the Monaco Grand Prix.
Don't think so.
Let's have a check.
It's been Max or Lewis or
Monaco,
Ricciardo, I
Monaco,
think.
Monaco, Monaco. Fourth, fifth, third,
And Perez.
third, retirement, ninth, 11th, 13th. No. Damn.
I
I
thought
was thinking Bottas would have
you're not
been a.
getting Giovinazzi again.
No. He could come back, win the Monaco Grand Prix, then all he's got to do is Indy 500.
Wouldn't have said anything. It's not going to happen.
Mathematically, he's as close as Daniel Ricciardo is to doing the triple. Anyway,
That is exhausting.
yes. Anyway, it's being moved in the calendar, and the calendar shift is being touted as part of the sport's move to sustainability and likely allows them to create a more contiguous sort of flow of races without having to bounce around. Canada's position in the calendar has also shifted accordingly. What it looks
I
like we'll
finally
see the
figured that
calendar
out.
go is Australia, China, Japan, Bahrain, Saudi, Miami, Canada, Imola, Monaco, Spain, Austria, and then on as normal, which means there's none of this sort of bouncing back and forth over the Atlantic for weeks in a row, everyone getting sort of horrendously
Stupid.
jet lagged because Miami and Canada couldn't agree to be a bit closer on the calendar. So it's a step in the right direction.
Geographically, they can't do anything about it, but I take your meaning.
Yeah, they've done the best they can within reason. More calendar talk is that the F1 Academy calendar for 2025 has been announced too. China, Saudi Arabia, Miami, Canada, Netherlands, Singapore, and Las Vegas. So a bunch of Mickey Mouse street circuits, China and Canada and Netherlands. It's such a weird mix of tracks. I don't know how to feel about it.
It's interesting, is the nice way of phrasing it, particularly Las Vegas, because again, I wonder what they hope to achieve with that.
Big
It'll be,
showcase.
I hope that it's not going to be what they did with F1 Academy and with W Series in Singapore, where they have it held so much earlier in the day that you don't get the magic of it. I want it under the lights. If you've got the F1 race at midnight, for crying out loud, you can do it at 9 p.m. and it's still going to work out, especially if it's what, November time. That's going to be perfect, and that'll be a bit of an interesting test. And I need the full aesthetic. I would have loved that with F1 Academy a lot more this year. It was the best racing we've got so far this year, but it would have been even better under the lights. Montreal, I'm looking forward to seeing them racing there, but none of it matters about the circuits unless they improve the cars, which I know we keep saying about, so we're not going to go into it again today, but It's just frustrating that we're tweaking the calendar in this way, and thought, that's not the issue. You need to make the cars a bit better, and then the racing will come regardless of where you are, as the feeder series way. And interestingly, you point out, I think, that there's no overlap between F2, F3, and F1 Academy. They're not all together over one weekend with F1 next year, which is good because they did that in Spain this year, and that was exhausting to watch, never mind to be actively involved in. So I think that's for the best.
But it'd be nice to see it on at least weekends where there's F2, so you can at least see as a spectator, as a young fan, you can see that continuous sort of this is the progression, the sort of that inspiring, there's the ladder before me idea. Especially if you're a young female fan going, okay, so where the hell do I go next? And you go, oh, well, there's Formula 2. And you don't tend to get weekends where you've got F1 and F3, it's always F1, F2, F3, and that's the way it works. But it'd be fun if you did actually. I think it'd be more fun to separate it out so you don't always have to have like F2 and F3 on the same weekend. You could have F1 and F3. And that would again give you the opportunity to have sort of your F1, your F3, your F1 Academy, mix it up a bit, and also take Formula 3 to some new circuits. Don't keep posting it to the same circuits. Shake it up would
They
be
took them
fun.
off to Australia last year for the first time. It's a new track.
Yeah, well, let's
I
take
still
them to
agree
some
with
more
you, but that's not
places.
my
Yeah,
fault.
let's take them to more places. I'd love to see them in Brazil. I think the feeder series in Brazil or Mexico would be pretty good.
I would like to see F2 and F3 in Mexico purely because if they can't have good racing there, then we know the circuit is just a bit buggered in its current state because we've had Formula E there, didn't do anything, hasn't done anything for a while. F1 got lucky this year, but should probably have finished it there and left it for a while. So if the Vita series can't do it, then I always think, it's going to be interesting for F1.
Yeah, but anyway, that's the F1 Academy news. We'll move on from that before we get angry about how terrible the cars are and move to a team with terrible cars, Aston Martin, and they've got some changes at the top. Dan Fallows will be leaving the role of technical director ahead of Adrian Newey joining the team. He will, however, remain within the group, which I think is good. You sort of get this powerhouse of Dan Fallows and Adrian Newey. They are both accustomed to each other's work, and I think it makes sense to retain the two, but again, give Newey the leadership that he probably had written into his contract. And again, Fallows is used to working sort of with Newey, and I don't think it's going to be sort of like an underling process. I think there's going to be good communication between the two, so it's relatively straightforward there. Meanwhile, Carlos Sainz will drive for Williams in the end of year test, the Abu Dhabi test. Post-season, we'll see Sainz in the Williams. Again, not a great deal to say about that. Makes sense. Get him sort of seated into the car, get used to a few things ahead of winter, just so he's got like a physical experience to take with him into winter training. If you're Williams, it makes a hell of a lot of sense. The next news, and something I fear you might have something to say about, is RB, and they have a Las Vegas livery.
You've seen it.
No, I haven't actually.
Have a quick look, then I'll make my comment.
Right. I will edit this in the
And play
podcast.
elevator music in the meantime.
RB. Visa Cash App RB. Oh. Okay, I'm gonna go for another niche reference. Do you remember the weird sort of like clear children's toothpaste you used to get that was a bit glittery? Or is this just something that I'm remembering from the early noughties?
I think that's just you, to be honest.
Okay,
And
I'm gonna
if I
try
did
and
see
find.
that, I'm glad I've been able to erase it from my memory. But my opinion on that library is it is awful.
Yeah, it reminds me of children's toothpaste. I'm sorry. It is just so
Which I'm not sure in what
half-assed.
world that's ever going to be a compliment, to be fair.
It's just a bit uninspired. It's just like they've added sparkle to the terrible one they had from Miami.
I've mercifully erased that livery also from my memory because do you know what that one was as well, Jesse? That was awful.
Yeah. Anyway.
Again, I don't get how you can have, again, the wide spectrum of color and
Where are we running
texture
a
and
special livery?
everything. Not that I've seen, not yet anyway, but I don't get how they can all just mess it up so spectacularly. And we see it more often than not that all the teams just somehow manage to do one good livery a year at best. And that's mercifully the permanent livery, but any special liveries, majority of the time you go, oh.
They have special race suits. They're slightly more sort of like sandy, dusty colored. I don't know quite why, but maybe they've got a
It's from
car to
the
match.
desert, Jesse. It's Vegas.
Yes, that's possibly why. Anyway, some FINA series news because we haven't talked about them enough. Dams have dropped Juan Manuel Correa for Dino Baganovic. The Ferrari Driver Academy member has finished sixth in Formula 3 this year. Meanwhile, JMC is currently 17th in the standings in F2. It's an immediate drop too, not just for the 2025 season. Dino will be racing in Qatar and Abu Dhabi. In other F2 news, Dennis Hauger is off to Indy next, with his seat at MP being filled by Richard Vasseur for the final two rounds of this year and for 2025. Max Esterson will from Formula 3 will step up and replace for sure at Trident for the rest of the year. And Christian Mansell is joining Rodin in Formula 2 for 2025.
Same for Korea, but I think he's come back, done an incredible job considering the fight back he had to do to get to where he is. And he got, in my mind and in many people's minds, the win back in Spain earlier this year. We're taking that a bit like Vettel in Canada in 2019. But I think now his future probably lies in racing in the World Endurance Championship or an IMSA. I get
Yeah,
the vibe,
GT,
I'm not
that sort of
sure.
thing.
And it is that time of year where there's a lot of chopping and changing in Formula 2, and Baganovic makes sense to see if anyone wants him in F2 next year. P6 isn't terrible. It's one of these awkward positions where I think last year, the year before, the last year, I think the top five in Formula 3 were incredibly close, and I wanted certain drivers to stay for another year, and Baganovic was one of them, and he actually listened to me, so I'm happy for that. So I think now is a good point where he can make that step up. I never am the biggest fan of having a rookie year not winning and then still stepping up into F2. I like to think take your time with it, don't rush, because you can be spat out so quickly if you're not careful. Whereas if you just take an extra year to really hone your craft, that may do you a world of good. Hauger is the opposite of that in some ways, because he did take his time, but it hasn't worked out for him in that way. And it does weirdly make sense for him to move on, though, but it's also mad considering he was once touted as the next Verstappen following his dominant F3 season. But go
Yeah.
off and make some bank in America, I suppose. For sure, he looks like he's becoming the next kind of evolution of Ralph Wascheron at this point in terms of longevity. Max Esterson replacing him, though, not sure why. I mean,
Did Esterson
money,
step up earlier this year?
sanctions. Briefly, I think.
Yeah,
It's
for
been
one
a
of the
long
rounds
year. I'd
where
have to
people
check
shuffled
that.
around.
But he finished P21 this year in F3 with 2 point finishes, so you can understand the confusion on a talent point of view there.
Oh,
Whereas
who's.
Christian Mantle stepping up to F2 makes sense. Top five finish this year, which would normally mean, again, that I think he needs another year. But I don't know. You get the same vibe from Christian Mantle that I do, I think, in terms of he seems very capable and just very reassured about himself as a person. So I think, yeah, he's up for the challenge.
He was at the karting event I was at, not karting, sim racing event I was at last week, and genuinely really nice,
And
self-assured guy.
you thought that was him stepping up to F2 earlier in the year.
No.
Is that where you pulled that from?
No, he's just a nice guy. And back to Esterson. One,
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant Esterson. I thought
no, no, no. I meant
Mansell.
Mansell. Yeah,
Fair enough. Okay, I take it back.
Mansell, really nice guy, sound guy, relatively self-assured, and a
Yeah,
pretty decent
yeah.
racer as well. He's had a fairly good season.
Yeah,
On
pretty good.
Esterson, we share the same birthday, 9th of October. He's
Bully
obviously
for you, I guess.
significantly younger than me, born in 2002. He did. Oh no, he hasn't run in Formula 2 yet this season. I could have sworn he was one of the drivers that's sort of in like Baku or something, where he had like an almighty number
No.
suddenly appear out of nowhere to fill in a variety of seats that are shuffled around.
Although that was Christian Mansell in Baku,
Yeah, he
so maybe
stepped
that's what
up.
you're thinking.
So yeah, they're all over the gap at the moment. It's a fun and exciting time to be watching feeder series. But yeah, there we go. Christian Mansell, nice guy. Max Esterson, confused how this has happened for him, but proof might be in the pudding. He
However,
might do
the
better.
last bit of news that we have does tie things up nicely, I think, in a way that I will surprise you with in a moment, because Mercedes are going to be rejoining the World Endurance Championship as of next year, which I think is excellent. Also, again, a championship you're going, yeah, let's bring in another team. Why not? Look how easy that was. What I'm saying. Maybe Mick Schumacher and Esteban Gutierrez go here, as they don't have anything to do at the moment, unless they want to race for someone else. And then, as I said, perhaps to bring news full circle, Bottas, as he returns to Mercedes, competes for them as well here, and he gets to go off and do some endurance racing, which it's a stretched out enough calendar with few enough races for him to still go and be Bottas and do other things.
Yeah, do cycling, do food videos with food
There's
blogs
enough
across
gap
Northern
between the
Europe.
races for him to cycle from race to race. You could cycle around the world, raise money for charity,
I
and
could see him doing that, to be
be an
fair.
all-round nice guy.
I think he did a cycle across like the Monaco harbor or something, on like a special floating bicycle, but he and some friends did it, and it, again, a charity thing. He strikes me as, again, one of those really nice guys that just sort of does just has a great time and just sort of understands his place in the world. So like a slightly more sort of laid back Sebastian Vettel. But anyway, yeah,
I
Mercedes
don't
back
see
to
Vettel with
wreck.
a mullet anytime soon.
Has he still got his big long shaggy hair, Vettel? I can't remember if he'd sort of had a haircut.
Well, it's a little shorter, but it's still long.
Yeah, it's not mullety though. He hasn't had it sort of
No.
not business at the front, party at the rear like Bottas has gone for. But anyway, that's all of the news out of the way. Christ alive, that's a lot of news. If you're still with us, or if you just skipped this point, hello, welcome, thank you for coming back. It's time to have a look ahead to the Las Vegas Grand Prix, and I
Thank God
think,
we had some Vegas bits of news in there, otherwise that'd been really annoying to
yeah, to
do all
keep
of that news
people
and none of it be relevant.
just about tied to it. I just want to check what the weather forecast is going to be for Las Vegas.
It's gonna be dark.
It's going to be dark, but I want to check how cold it's possibly going to be, because that's going to be the important part. Because, of course, we race at night time, and in the
No, it's
desert, the
not gonna be
temperatures
important
fall
at all.
away.
We all know you can just hang on any tires on any conditions anywhere and it'll be fine. They're built to last. That's how it works, right? I've been listening.
No, not at all. So, Friday night, a low of 7 degrees Celsius. Saturday night is going to be a low of 13 degrees Celsius. And Sunday night,
Sunday
if
night doesn't matter because we
Sunday
have the
night doesn't
race on a
matter,
Saturday night.
I forget that it's all shuffled around because it's Vegas. So yes, it's going to be cold through some of the practice and qualifying sessions, and still relatively chilly for an F1 race in the actual race itself. So potentially low grip conditions, trying to put a lot of heat into the tires. And don't forget, we have that absolutely huge straight section down the Las Vegas Strip before a big heavy braking zone. So tire temperatures and pressures are possibly going to be the talk of the town when we get to Tinseltown. No, Tinseltown's Hollywood, isn't it? Las Vegas.
Yes.
I couldn't think of a T for Las Vegas. Anyway, there we
I'm
are.
not
That's
helping you out of that
no, you're just
one.
going to sit
You
there and
made
nod
your
at me
way
like
there.
an idiot. Yeah. So anyway, that's the temperatures out of the way. I think we're up for an interesting Grand Prix. We've still technically got a championship fight on our hands,
No, we
but
don't.
Verstappen is ultimately going to wrap it up here this weekend. I think the most interesting thing is, who do we think is going to run best? We've obviously got a lot of straight lines, big braking zones, and some sort of relatively slow speed, fiddly corners. Who do we think that's going to favour?
Brad Pitt, I think he's going to win in Vegas. I think
Yeah.
that's going to be part of the narrative for that film.
Speaking of popular narrative, do you want to know one of the potential reasons why Sergio Perez has still been on the grid this year?
Kit Kat.
Not necessarily Kit Kat, it's because he's the driver that Brad Pitt's fighting against for the world title in the film, apparently.
Well, I know that he was fighting him in Brazil, but I would be very surprised if he is the main title contender because that would then get me onto your side of the camp in how I'm viewing this film, which I do not want to be on. There's far too much weirdness on your side of it, and I don't want to be there, but
There's
I'll
a lot of
walk
weird
over and
over
take a
here, but
look
there's a lot of
if
weird over here, but we'll
that is
welcome
the
it.
case.
Yeah, but from rumors that I've heard, certainly in Brazil, the concept was that Brad Pitt was battling against Sergio Perez.
I'm just
Potentially,
hoping it was a one-off race win.
yeah, maybe. I can't remember if he was supposed to have won in Brazil or not. I know he won in Mexico, or certainly podiumed in Mexico. I don't
He
know,
won
I've
in
lost
Mexico,
track.
but I don't think he won in Brazil. We would have heard more about that. I think the focus is just on Perez there, and that's
Interestingly, we
who
haven't
knows.
heard if his rookie teammate has won anything all season. We've only ever seen news of when Brad Pitt's been winning things, or should I say, transplanted Martin Brundle. That's the age category they're putting the Pitt in as. Anyway, yeah, so Vegas is going to be interesting. I think for me, this could be a circuit that favors the Ferraris. I think they might just have the setup edge for it. If you look at how well they've run at some sort of high speed and power circuits, the speed they got out of the car in Baku, how competent they were in Monza, it
I think
just
the
got a
real
bit of the
unknown
edge
is
for
just
me.
McLaren, to be honest, because they obviously did decently here last year in Piastri because Norris obviously went skedaddling. But the other three teams that are up for it, realistically, unless we get a repeat of Brazil in terms of messiness and craziness, which again, we sort of expected last year and never really got, but we then just got a decent race out of. It's just going to be interesting to see what McLaren can do here because they're just a bit of the wild card. But I also think that because of Brazil, Piastri might not be as forthcoming and as lenient as he potentially has been of late because he's, logically speaking, done everything he possibly can to help his teammate, and it's not his fault it's not transpired that way. As Leclerc said post Brazil, I think it was more of what Max can do in that car than the car and the conditions today than luck. And I think Oscar's had a little bit of a gap between race wins now, being up on the podium at least. So why shouldn't he fight? Why shouldn't he take a little bit of a flutter, roll the dice? Insert other Las Vegas terrible puns and jokes here.
I have to see how the cards read. But that's all still to come at the Las Vegas Grand Prix. The important part we need to do is the usual gamble we make with our predictions. And Timo, what is your prediction for pole position? Which actually ties in neatly to what you were just saying.
Well, yes, I'm staying very much on brand and loyal to Oscar Piastri there. I just think he's got nothing to lose, so why not?
No, it's a fair shout.
Even if he doesn't win, I think it's just one of those statements he can make and just be like, yeah, still here, guys. Hello.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm sort of backing you in sort of like a repeat of Baku in a way. I'm going Charles Leclerc for pole, where of course Piastri and Leclerc had that brilliant shootout for pole in Azerbaijan. Again, a high speed street circuit, big long straight, fiddly back section. I don't know. The song is repeating itself at this point. We'll move on from pole position to the podium and Timo, yours.
Couldn't take that long to think of my name. I've been here long enough.
I was just trying to think of like an
Verstappen for
interesting
the win.
thing.
Piastri MOP 2, Leclerc P3. In that order, because it'd be the fourth different country in Grand Prix for Verstappen to win the title at. So that's just an interesting fun thing for him. Piastri and Leclerc, keep me honest, and both did decent here last year, particularly Leclerc, obviously, with that beautiful move on Perez for P2 towards the end of the Grand Prix. So combine that with Ferrari just being strong this year, it'd be nice to see. What about yourself?
There is a way that there are someone's I saw, was it F1 or was it Motorsport magazine that did the breakdown of how Verstappen would have to finish to beat Norris in
Just has to
Brazil.
beat him.
No, he doesn't. He can finish outside the points, and all Norris has to do is to sort of not score anywhere above like fifth or something ridiculous like that, and the net result is that Verstappen wins. So Verstappen can win the title without actually winning the race, which is quite fun. There
I
is a
think it'd
break.
just be
Someone has
fun for
done
him
the
to do it in
breakdown.
style after all the rest of it, and he just does another kind of dominant performance, and then he's done his 17th to first, and then he just runs away by about a minute and goes, was that luck again, was it? Sure, boy.
Here we go. So Max, if Max wins the Grand Prix, outright wins the title. If Max finishes ahead of Lando in any order, so even if it's
Done.
just sort of like ninth and tenth, boom, job done. If Lando doesn't score points, essentially that's it done. So even if Max has to retire from the race, he just needs to hope that Lando scores 11th or lower. So again,
Which is not out of the realm possibility.
It's all still very doable, and it'll be interesting to see what happens from that and who comes out where from what.
Who's on your podium anyway?
My podium, I've gone for Charles Leclerc, Carlos Sainz, and Max Verstappen. So ultimately, I'm also still sort of sealing the bag for Max Verstappen when it comes to the title, but I think we're going to see a Ferrari double up there.
Not against it.
Again, it's a decent car for the circuit. I think they'll be fighting back after a relatively torrid Brazil. Speaking of fighting back after a relatively torrid Brazil, have you seen the video from Williams of them just unboxing bits of just like detritus that they swept up from Brazil?
I imagine, I've not seen it, but I imagine it's like opening up a Lego box and just pouring all the pieces out.
They essentially laid out three bays in the workshop. One was sort of like junk, one was bits we can possibly recycle and bits, and then one for bits that aren't broken.
And then they
And
brought in the new contestant from this year's series of Scrappy Challenge,
yeah,
like
it was
build us a
basically
F1 car.
just sort of freight crates just full, and they were just pulling out like that was a track rod, that is just a bit of carbon fiber, just stuff. And there was at one point a rumor that Williams might not even make it with two cars to Las Vegas, but they have since confirmed, no, we've got all the bits. We're making it with two cars. So Franco Colapinto and his surprisingly old
We just had to
girlfriend,
meld them together so it's one really long car.
yeah, they both will be in there. One gets
Perfect
the
for the
pedals, one gets
straight,
the
but really
steering
awkward
wheel.
for every other part of the track.
But anyway, we'll see how that goes. Fastest lap, Timo.
Lewis Hamilton, why not?
Okay. Bit in controversial with my wild prediction. I meanwhile have gone for Charles Leclerc for fastest lap. I think he's going to have a fairly dominant time of things in Las Vegas. He seems to be on good form, and I think he's trying to build up to having relatively
I've
solid
noticed this
form.
about you this year. You just, more often than not, you either go incredibly left field and fail dramatically, or you put all your eggs in one basket for all the predictions.
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean I score points because that basket often falls
No, I'm
off and
not.
the eggs
That's
fall out
exactly
and
what
it
I'm saying, though. It's
break.
like both strategies are not
Bad.
good.
Yes. I never claim to be thinking in more than one dimension when putting these together. Yeah,
As
Charles
well.
Leclerc, fastest lap. Wild prediction, however. You and I have both got predictions that could overlap here.
They could, but it would ruin my fastest lap if it
Yeah.
does,
Well, you might
essentially.
do it before he retires from the
Yeah, but
race.
then you've got to hope that no one beats it afterwards, which is always a bit hairy. I've gone for what I would thought might happen last year, and I'll be interested to see what my wild prediction last year was, but only eight cars finished the Grand Prix because it's Vegas, baby.
What was your prediction from last year? I should probably be able to
Well,
find that
probably it'll be a good
actually.
race, something like that.
2023 race by race predictions, Las Vegas Grand Prix, Timo, only five finish.
Only five.
I think you'd truly given up with the game at that point.
I did
Yeah.
not have expectations.
You've sort of made it a bit more reasonable this year. Only eight cars finish. I meanwhile have gone for Lewis Hamilton withdraws from the race because he had a fairly rough time of things in Brazil. That car was all over the shop and painful, physically painful to drive. Like it was bouncing all over the place.
I
A
love
high
they've probably
speed
given this car a
circuit.
practice number.
Yeah, high speed circuit. I reckon that Mercedes is going to be even worse going around Vegas, sort of properly skimming along the.
Well, you'd hope that in the time that they've had since the last one, they might have sorted it out a little bit to combat such a thing. But again, maybe that would require them listening to him,
Yeah, we'll
which,
wait and see.
depending on who
They,
you listen to, is 50-50.
yeah, whether or not they're still doing that this year or not, but we'll wait and see. But yeah, that's my wild prediction. And conveniently, that brings us to the end of this week's episode, just shy of the hour mark. In the meantime, if you want any more from any of us, Timo, where can you be found?
Social media is probably the easiest gateway to start taking the Teemo drug. So t.albert.daily up on the curbs.
Don't do drugs, kids.
Unless they're me, I'm an excellent drug.
Maybe. If you want more from me, you can find me on the internet as well, as at Jesse on Cars on pretty much all the platforms, or you can find me writing and recording for Classic Car Weekly. Latest issue is out today. You can go and pick it up. We've got some interesting bits there. We've had a reporter out in Brussels for a Classic Car show there. Got a couple of exclusive stories, some interesting bits and pieces cobbled together in this week's issue, as well as our new podcast series, which we've just started up. So,
It's not in the magazine, though.
it's not in the magazine, but it's got like companion aspects to it. It's a good laugh. I'd recommend going and listening to it when you finish listening to this. And of course, thank you to all of our listeners around the world, but most specifically, thank you to all of our listeners in Angelino Heights, Los Angeles. This was the closest location I could find listeners to Las Vegas. Angelino Heights is famously the set for Michael Jackson's Thriller music video and one of the oldest sort of neighborhoods in Los Angeles. And if someone there is able to send us some of the nearby Highland Park Brewery's Hello LA IPAs, that'd be ace.
Not
Otherwise,
thrilling.
yeah, otherwise, thank you very much for listening. Have a grand weekend getting up early in the morning to watch all the action from Las Vegas, and we'll see you again soon.